Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports. And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, Slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
Pedro Fernandez.
I wanted to do the right thing.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated but never duplicated, 38-plus years now of knocking out all bums. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. For the next hour, I hope to inform you, entertain you, and maybe even irritate you to an extent. If I can do one of the three, I think, well, I have done my job very well. Straight up, we have open phone lines around the planet. If you dare, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, the studio text line, the number 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Of course, we are about 18 hours removed, of course, from Canelo Alvarez's win over Callum Smith, a 12-round rout, no doubt about that, who the winner was after 12 rounds. Canelo unscathed, unbruised, not a mark on his face after 12 rounds. 36 minutes of good work. He made some money. Of course, he tells Eddie Hearn, what's next? I guess Eddie Hearn is now calling these shots as far as Canelo Alvarez. Eddie Hearn, as Larry Merchant had mentioned in hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, talk about the Sunday edition, he said that maybe that Eddie Hearn was being funded by a Russian billionaire, some oligarch over there. So the bottom line is, who knows where the money's coming from, but there's a lot of money in DAZN. They didn't have the money to pay Canelo in the original contract, but they're giving him his bucks now because he was there last night, and I guess he'll be there as far as next fight as well. That should take place in May. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide this hour of Ring Talk. Of course, we're bringing in Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. I'll go over some results last night before we bring in Boxing's PhD. Of course, lots of results over the weekend. The UFC, it's dead. Stick a fork in it, baby. This is the way it is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the Internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say, but he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him, so I see him getting himself in good condition so that he could fire back. Never been one to say die, never been one to hide out. He comes on, damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Can I go to the police station?
Yeah, that was until I threw my back out on Thursday. So I haven't been able to run since then. But the bottom line is I think I'll be back running tomorrow or the following day. Of course, having run 160 times this year, I think I've done my part as far as getting in shape is concerned. And a lot of that had to do with the pandemic. So while there were far more negatives from the pandemic than there were positives, one of the positives was I got myself in excellent condition. On Friday night, unbeaten WBC light heavyweight number one contender Gilberto Zerto Ramirez, of course, now 41 and zip, 27 KOs, won a 10th round TKO over an IBF number 11th ranked contender. I'll talk about Alfonso El Tigre Lopez, 32-4, 25 KOs. Of course, that's for the NABF title last Friday night in Galveston, Texas. Of course, that's where I televised the George Foreman, J.B. Williamson fight on FNN Sports. Remember, that caused a bit of that was like the first ever time that anything went viral. I think that's the only thing maybe anything ever went viral with me, but me and George Foreman were like all over the world on TV. That was so cool. And people were calling me, Pedro, I saw you with George! Yeah, like on SportsCenter, all these other different places, because we were just FNN Sports. We were like Financial News Network. Well, that's what we did during the week. We did nothing but stocks. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we did sports. And, of course, we did some boxing. Got to travel around the world with them. So that was sort of cool. But the bottom line is Galveston, Texas, some great memories. And what a great beach they have there. No doubt about that. Now, a unbeaten former WBA interim champion, talk about 118 pounds, Reynard Carballo, now 24 and zip 20 KOs, defeated former IBF title holder Manny Rodriguez, 19-2, 12 KOs. Controversial split decision claimed the WBC 118-pound crown that was 12 rounds or so Saturday night at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. It was a bit of a slow-paced affair, but the bottom line is, it is controversial. So anytime there's controversy in boxing, what do they do? Let's do it again. Let's have another rematch. Scores were 116, 112, 115, 113, and that was for Gabalo. And then one score, the judge had it 118, 110 for Rodriguez. So that's a bit of a surprise there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you look at the year of boxing as far as 2020 is concerned and going into 2021? I think that boxing is good. I think we've got guys like there's guys on the horizon like Ennis Boots. We'll talk about him in depth with Socrates Palmer in the next segment, of course, who, as we go into the lightweight division. But there's just some good looking guys on the coming up that I think we're going to have to pay attention to. As far as the big heavyweights concerned, they will settle the score in 2021. I don't think they have any of their options. Of course, Deontay Wilder, the American hope at one point in time, the American 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, a bronze bomber from Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I believe, something like that. Anyway, the bottom line is, he can't fight. He can punch like hell, but he can't fight. You saw what happened when he fought Tyson Fury the first time. I mean, they called it a draw, but man, he got his head handed to him. He got licked. Except for those two knockdowns, he was being owned by Tyson Fury. Of course, in the rematch, he got blitzed. Just got taken out and was done. There's no question about that. No controversy the second time around. I think they've fought like 19 rounds, and Tyson Fury's won like 17 of the 19 rounds. So what does that tell you? That tells you that Deontay Wilder will not do any better in a third fight. So that's why you should take the step-aside money, let Anthony Joshua, who I think is a bit of a fraud. I was real high on him. You know that. The 2012 Olympic gold medalist, said to myself, man, we've got a future in boxing. The kid's got a nice, he's handsome, he's tall, he's big, he's Olympic gold medals, he's got the pedigree, all the others, but he ain't got the chin. He don't have the chin, and he's not Lennox Lewis. This is not a guy that's going to be able to come back, and I think, of course, he did beat the one guy that beat him. I'm talking about Andy Ruiz, but then again, who couldn't beat Andy Ruiz in that condition? Had Andy Ruiz been in any other division, he would have been ruled unfit to box. I mean, look at him. I mean, he was like 283 pounds or something like that at the weigh-in, so that meant he was like 300 pounds during the fight. He's just a fat pig. And as far as him training with Canelo and those guys, good luck trying to get him off the tacos. It's just not going to happen. I think Andy Ruiz, of course, Andy Ruiz, I love to call him. I think he's the biggest farce in the history of the heavyweight division as far as recent years are concerned. He pulled off that fluke. Yes, he had a decent amateur background. He could fight a little bit, but he never, ever, ever, ever dedicated himself to boxing. He just never did it. I mean, he always had a gut. He was always fat. And he was sort of like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and he became acceptable. So, and that's not acceptable in prize fighting. It's just not. And I think that the fact that he won that first fight by the fact that Anthony Joshua brought him his chin. See, Joshua came at him with hands down. He was square, and he had his chin right open there. And, of course, Andy whipped that right hand over the top. And before you knew it, you know, Joshua's on Queer Street. And before you know it, Anthony Ruiz is, of course, the heavyweight champion of the world and one of the biggest upsets in a long time. Now, Ruiz is done, of course. The aforementioned Lennox Lewis, I heard him talking about the heavyweight division right now. He's high on Tyson Fury. And Emmanuel Stewart told me that Tyson Fury was going to be the heavyweight future as far as champions were concerned. Of course, he worked with a couple of those guys. He worked with Lennox Lewis. He worked with the Klitschkos. He worked with Tyson Fury a couple times in the Kronk gym. So he knows what time it was. But Tyson Fury right now has to make a statement. And he has to make the statement on television. Go out there, knock out Anthony Joshua, prove to everybody that you are the man, pound for pound, you are the king. Because he needs to do that and make a statement, because Joshua's there to be taken. Joshua's got that chin. I'm telling you, Joshua fights gun-shy now. He's been knocked out once. I mean, think about this. If you had to look in the mirror every day, sort of like Michael Moore. Michael Moore had to live with the fact he got knocked out by George Foreman. Now, George Foreman sounds formidable, but George Foreman was 45 years old at the time. He was old, he was slow, he's getting lit up like the White House Christmas tree. He fell for a sucker move, and Michael Moore got knocked out, okay? So that's Michael Moore's claim to fame, getting knocked out by an old man, okay? And, of course, Anthony Joshua's claim is getting knocked out by a big, fat guy in Andy Ruiz. I'm not going to go racial on there, but cause, you know, the bottom line is the Mexican people should be ashamed of him. They should. I've never seen a fighter go into a fight so unprepared ever. I mean, there's a lot of fights I've went through in, like, 40 years of boxing or 40, 50 years of boxing, okay? And I'm telling you, I've never seen a fighter go that unprepared into a title fight, especially a title fight of that significance. He's getting paid millions of dollars. He got big-time money to train. They wanted him back in the ring. He knew the rematch was coming. And, of course, he did a lot of booze, reportedly a lot of blow as well. And at the end of the day, Andrew Ruiz is just a piece of work. In my mind, he's not part of the heavyweight division. Of course, I don't care what Canelo and those guys do. They think they can put him on undercards, you know, with Canelo in the future and maybe enhance people to watch a Mexican heavyweight. But like, I'm going to have to go back to what I used to say about Mexican heavyweights. What are Mexican heavyweights? Fat middleweights. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing, MMA, of course. The boxing schedule, Teofimo Lopez talking all kinds of smack. We'll get to Mr. Socrates Palmer in about a minute and a half, 2 minutes here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. But Teofimo talking absurd, I mean absurd purse amounts as far as his title offenses are concerned. He can go to Australia, probably make $3 million fighting the Calabrasas kid. Why don't you just do that? Said he's talking all kinds of other crazy stuff. And Devin Haney. Next up, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Time to take it down to the nightclub, my boy Rick Stevens. Of course, the late Rick Stevens, may he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look in the world of boxing. We take it to the East Coast, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking to Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's true PhD. And Sock, what was your impression last night of Canelo Alvarez's performance?
Hey, I, like many, I was impressed. I think that Canelo really showed that legitimately he's creeping up on the all-time great status. You know, I mean, I know he's kind of a polarizing figure, and I guess like most fighters are that are considered to be at the top of their game. You can always nitpick at certain things. Obviously the PED, testing that came up a couple of years ago, that's going to,
Time out. If you're going to drop that line in there, you better explain what it is to the listeners. I will. A couple of years ago, Canelo ate some meat, and it was tainted with steroids. Allegedly, he ate some meat. He didn't take the steroids. Allegedly, the contamination was through the meat. Correct? Boxing's PhD?
That is correct. That was his alibi. And what helps him is that other athletes out of Mexico have had that same issue, namely some soccer players and I believe some track and field athletes as well.
It does sound like a nice excuse for Flintstone vitamins though, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, and you know what? He served the suspension and, the biggest damage is that that will always be a cloud around him, you know, when it comes to his history and his legacy. But aside from that, last night he did what he had to do against an opponent that I probably gave too much credit when I saw the record and there's a couple of fights that I did see him in the last few years. I thought Caleb Smith was going to give a better performance. I thought he was going to show some hunger on the big stage. But at some point, he was almost just content to not get knocked out. You know, he didn't open up. He had no answer for Canelo's speed. And Canelo's just a beast. You know, when he sees somebody that's going to offer very little resistance, he's going to take it to him. Now, he wasn't able to put him away. In the last round, you saw that he was going for the knockout and Caleb Smith had his moments, but at that point, there was just no respect for Caleb Smith's power and Canelo just walked him down and he probably could have gotten a stoppage if he worked the body more and, through more combinations than what we are used to seeing. When you had mentioned that to me last night, he looked almost like a fighter that might be training himself. You know, he's with his posture in the corner, which is kind of like a taboo, you know, with your arms up on the rope, almost like that arrogant laziness, you know, that an old school trainer would probably check him on it. But then again, you know, the corner for Canelo, they're there because of Canelo. You know, I'm sure they walk on eggshells when they're talking to,
I think,
to their meal ticket.
Hector Martinez told me that Eddie Reynoso is the trainer and that his father, Eddie Reynoso, is the manager. Is that the way it goes or what? Something like that?
I am not aware of that. It's possible. You know, I mean, they've been with him since day one.
Yeah.
You know, at first, I believe the old man was the one that was the trainer, and he's a butcher, I think, by trait, if I remember the story. And I guess he's fallen back as he's gotten old and his son has taken over. But, you know, what's there to criticize about Canelo last night? I mean, he looked fresh as a daisy after 12 rounds against a bigger man. And he just proved that there are levels to this sport. And Canelo right now is that he's the top of the food chain. You know, he's without a doubt, he's on the pound for pound. He's the pound for pound king, both in the box office and in the ring.
Yeah. I was of the opinion that he carried him for 12 rounds, and that at the end of the night, Callum Smith gets to go back to the UK and tell all those people he finished on his feet, the whole nine yards. His career isn't destroyed. Canelo moves on to another day. He's tight with Eddie Hearn now. Looks like Eddie Hearn's calling all the shots. And as far as, Larry Merchant said in hour number one that Eddie Hearn's money is some Russian oligarch that invested $1 billion in him. Is wow, $1 billion. I don't know if I'd put $1 billion in Eddie Hearn. Would you?
Well, that's a lot of money. I mean, I wish I had $1 billion that I could.
But in Eddie Hearn.
Well, Eddie Hearn, right now, I mean, if he is his, you know, pseudo promoter, I mean, he's got two of the biggest names in the sport, in Anthony Joshua and Canelo Alvarez. So, you know what I mean? It's a lot of faith in one guy, and he's got a network, which is very important.
Okay.
So I guess it's a smart investment. I'm grunting and groaning
over that, but we'll just let it pass. Anyway, let's talk lightweights. 135 pounds. Teofimo Lopez making noise this week for us. I told you he was offered $3 million to go down to Australia and take on unbeaten, but sort of limited George Cabrasso's very tough guy though. No doubt about that. Very aggressive guy. They were going to fight in Sydney, Australia. He was offered $3 million for that. And this week he says he doesn't want to fight, in Australia, but he'll take $5 million to take on Devin Haney. Who's Devin Haney?
Well, as per Teofimo Lopez, he's the email champion of the world.
Okay.
I'm surprised that Teofimo Lopez wouldn't go to Australia. I guess maybe he feels that the same treatment that Manny Pacquiao received, he'll get down there. I think Cambrosos is a good fighter, but I think he's limited, and stylistically he seems tailor-made for Teofimo to look spectacular against. I'm very surprised he turned that down. And the Devin Haney fight for $5 million, do you think that gets made before a fight between Garcia and Haney? I mean, because if anything, the Garcia-Haney fight is the easiest to make because they're both under Eddie Hearn. So, I don't know.
Okay, Teofimo Lopez, unbeaten now, 16-0, of course, 12 KOs. Gervonta Davis, the tank coming off that rollover, of course, the guy that was lighter than him. Vasyl Lomachenko, 14-2 now. Devin Haney, the aforementioned unbeaten, 25-0. Richard Comey, Cambrasas, Leo Selby, Luke Campbell, Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia. I like Ryan Garcia. Why am I jumping on the bandwagon with Ryan Garcia? Am I an internet bot too?
No, I think you're someone that sees potential. And if out of all those names, if there's one guy that could cross over and be a star even bigger than Canelo Alvarez, it's Ryan Garcia, without a doubt.
Because he speaks English.
Exactly. He dominates. He can dominate both cultures. And he's got the third culture in the chicks. The chicks dig him. You know, at least while he's young and good looking, he's got that De La Hoya appeal. He's going to bring that audience as well. He's out there in LA. He's rubbing elbows with LeBron James and you know, all the big wigs out in LA, Hollywood. You know what? If he was a stock, you definitely would buy him now, you know, and now might be too much. You know, he was like Tesla was 10 years ago. He's got star potential. Do I think he's the best? Do I think he's the most coddled and protective out of all those guys that you mentioned? Definitely the most coddled, the best, not so much.
Javonte Davis, is he at 130? Is he going to stay at one? What's it going to be? The southpaw, of course, from Baltimore, Illinois, unbeaten 24 fights. Leo Santa Cruz blitzed him with that one-punch shot coming up the middle. We sort of expected that. Poor, you know, Sanchez was in a no-win situation. He couldn't make a dollar anywhere, so he was forced into this fight with Davis, and he got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. Took it like a man. People cheered him as he left the ring, but that's like yikes. You know, that didn't look good for me. If I was him, I wouldn't have felt confident going into that, would you?
You know, I'm not going to say they cashed him out, but I guess they kind of figured that this is its peak, and if he gets beaten, you know, he can still come back down and fight at a more natural weight. But Leo Santa Cruz has made good money, you know, and what was at stake, I guess, was something historic in his legacy, but most people thought, like myself and you, that he was just outgunned. You know, he gave a gallant effort. He gave the effort that you wish Caleb Smith would have given, or Mikey Garcia, you know, but he paid the price for trying to give the effort of winning a fight, and he got killed almost, you know, with that uppercut, which is one of the knockouts of the year. Earlier you mentioned Lomachenko. I don't know if you caught wind. He was making an excuse and calling fix on the judges and really coming off as a sore loser, something that we kind of already thought he was, but he really put an exclamation point on it. I don't know if you caught wind of that.
Nothing like the guy in the White House, but back to Ryan Garcia for a minute. 20-0, 17 KOs. Of course, he's coming off that one-punch knockout over Francisco Fonseca. He's taking on Luke Campbell. It's going to go down January the 2nd. Of course, that'll bring in the new year on DAZN. What does Luke Campbell bring to the dance here with Ryan Garcia?
He brings experience. He brings a tremendous amateur background. Excuse me. He's been in the ring with two of the best fighters of this, the last few years at lightweight, in Linares and Lomachenko. He's a credible, good fighter. He's left-handed. He's fundamentally sound. It's going to be a big test for Ryan Garcia, and it will tell, it's going to tell us if Ryan is the real deal or not. You know, I think it's a very, very tough fight for, Garcia to win.
Masayoshi Nakatani, of course, lost that 12-round decision to Teofimo Lopez in 2019. He knocked out Felix Verdejo, and it was a really ugly knockout with like a jab last week. Did you happen to see that?
Yes, I did. In a very entertaining fight, in a fight that Verdejo really got off early, and you thought like, okay, this young man has kind of found himself. You know, Felix Verdejo, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were talking about him the way we were talking about Garcia and Teofimo Lopez. He was the next guy that was going to, you know, carry the mantle that Miguel Cotto, you know, left for the Puerto Rican legacy. And he really hit a wall, had a bad car accident. He was upset by a Mexican fighter. I can't remember the name. And his career has really sputtered. And he got out in front, and he just gassed out. You know, Nakatani was relentless and a tough fighter. He's 6 feet tall, six feet lightweight. That's a tough matchup, and he broke him down. And yes, he finished Verdejo off, and probably the last we'll see of Verdejo in a big spot.
Is he the Juan Manuel Lopez of 2020?
Excellent comparison. But even Juanma, though, at least had, you know, Juanma had some good wins. I mean, before he ran into the African fighter that really just destroyed him that night and never recovered. Verdejo is more, I would probably liken him to, I don't know, maybe like a Panchito Bajardo, like a prospect that just,
I'm going to let you go with this one, but here's what's up. I bring Bajardo in for an autograph signing session in New Mexico, and he's doing blow. He's got chicks in his room, the whole nine yards. He's smoking cigarettes. Good Lord. And he wasn't even like, he was only like 12-0, 13-0 at the time. Anyway, the story of Francisco Bajardo. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, we are blessed to have you on Sunday. Thank you so much. We'll see you Saturday.
All right, brother. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
The great Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, George Carlin on Muhammad Ali.
And the big fight is coming up. Ali and Frazier, Muhammad Ali. I call him Muhammad Ali because that's what he wants. Oh, yeah, he's a big dude and he hits hard, you know. I'll call him what he wants. But it's good that he's being allowed to work again. As you know, he couldn't work for 3 years. Of course, he had a strange job beating people up. But that was his, you know, his right. He could have that job. Government wanted him to change jobs. Government wanted him to kill people. He thought it over and he said, no, that's where I draw the line. I'll beat him up, but I don't want to kill him. And the government told him, well, if you won't kill him, we won't let you beat him up. And it was all because he didn't want to go to Vietnam, and now we're getting out of Vietnam through Laos and Cambodia. That's got to be the long way. You got to go through China and Russia to get out that way. What are we going to tell them? We'll only be here a short time. Just looking for a trail. Well, maybe they'll go for it. I don't know. Of course, we're only there in Southeast Asia for one reason, to free the people so they can have industry. Isn't that what we do everywhere, I think? We kind of free people and then lay a little industry on them so they can have all the benefits of industry that we have. Oh, beautiful, for smoggy skies, insecticided grain, for strip-mined mountains' majesty above the asphalt plain. America, America, man sheds his waste on thee and hides the pines with billboard signs from sea to oily sea.
George Carlin, of course, talking 1971, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, the fight of the century, no doubt about that. The world stopped, folks. I kid you not. I mean, I looked out the window. I was listening to the fight on the radio. I was just a kid. I was listening to the fight on the radio. It actually wasn't the fight, per se. What happened was they would tell you after the round was over what happened during the round. That was sort of the way we found out the first Ali Frazier and how it went down. So when I was scoring a fight off the radio, the way I was hearing it, Ali was winning all these rounds. Of course, at the end of 15 rounds after Ali got shook, I mean violently shook in that 12th round, he has never been hurt like he was in that 12th round against Joe Frazier the first time. He was staggering. His eyes were rolling around his head. He had no idea where he was. I kid you not. And he told me that. That 12th round against Frazier, man, I was in trouble. I fooled around, joked and hit. I underestimated Joe. And, of course, in the 15th round, he got dropped by that beautiful knockdown. And, of course, that sort of doomed the end for Muhammad Ali as far as the decision was concerned. Although at the end of 15 rounds, myself and Larry Merchant thought that Ali won enough rounds to win the fight. We just did. Even with Joe Frazier having that big round in the 12th and an even bigger round in the 15th, the big knockdown, of course, when Ali on his back and Joe with that big left hook in the air. Got to give Joe some credit. People don't give Joe the credit he deserves, and I'm probably one of them. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, he and Muhammad Ali were the greatest rivalry in boxing history. There was never a rivalry on a bigger stage ever. Not in baseball, not in football, not in no other sport. Nothing like professional boxing. No doubt about that. And when I look back at Ali right now, and, you know, the time that we're in, the pandemic and that kind of stuff, you know, LeBron James is not Muhammad Ali. And Charles Barkley, and I'm saying, you know, in other words, Jesse Jackson, not Muhammad Ali. None of these people are Muhammad Ali. And if he was around right now, I think we could really use an iconic leader, somebody of color, somebody a bit off white, that would sit out there and tell us, our people of color, that, you know, we've got to do the mask thing and we've got to do the vaccine thing when it comes out. I know that people of color are leery of the vaccine because of the fact the government's experimented on people of color in the past as far as vaccines and shots and that kind of good stuff is concerned. So I feel you on that, but guess what? I'm going to take the vaccine, and I'm a very, very anti type of government type of guy, but I'm going to take the vaccine as soon as it becomes available, and I encourage you to as well. Now, Muhammad Ali is not done. As far as laughs are concerned, of course, he and Flip Wilson, the late comedian, had his late night TV. Take that back. It wasn't a late night TV show. It was a variety show. Flip did a lot of things that you probably couldn't do on network TV, but Flip was the beginning. Bottom line is, here's Flip and Muhammad Ali.
You sure looking good.
I'm married.
Is she here with you?
No, she's not here. She's home with the children, but I'm married.
Oh, well, can't win them all. Win some and lose some. You know, you look a lot like Killer. You got that big husky thing. Killer used to be a fighter, too. Yeah, they called him Sweet Chariot. Because he was always swinging low. A scar on you. Just, let me look. Just stand. Let me. I talk now. Look at that man there. Ain't got a scar. You look better than you do on the television. You look better than that. How'd you like to lose 5 pounds real fast?
Lose 5 pounds the night we get Joe Frazier.
Are you gonna, at least look, 5 pounds. Now, let me tell you, I wanted to mention that to you. Come over here. I don't want them. This is between me and you. You know, now I know you gotta fight the man. You all gotta fight and drag off them Charlies. Yes, but don't hurt him. Don't hurt him because he's one of us. You gotta fight him. People expecting a fight. So go on and fight him a few rounds and then later on just do what you gotta do. But don't hurt him because he's one of us. Maybe I'll go light on you too. Yes, I wanted to meet you a long time. What are they looking at? I'm talking to you and they're looking at me. That guy there, he tried to come up on the stage a couple weeks ago and manhandle me. I said, man, are you crazy? You won't try nothing now. I got the champ with me. That's right. Here's the killer.
I thought I could talk, but I met my match.
I'm down to Flippers and Show, honey. I told you I was coming down here. I did, too. I told my mother to tell you if you called that I was over to Flippers and Show to see Muhammad Ali. That's right. The heavyweight champ. Now I'm standing right next to him. Well, not that close. Yes, and you want to talk to him? You want to say something to Killer?
How you feeling, Killer?
Yes. He said, how you feeling, Killer? Killer said, drop dead. He must have one of them Excedrin headaches. Yes. Oh, Killer, he don't want to talk to you anymore.
Bottom line is that was Flip Wilson, of course, Muhammad Ali back in the day, of course, setting up the first Joe Frazier fight in 1971. Now, we're from greatness to the latest from Floyd Mayweather. He's going to come back. That's why Floyd Mayweather is going to come back. He's going to have an exhibition. Of course, he came off an exhibition a couple years ago with a Japanese guy that was like 35, 40 pounds lighter than him. Of course, he wouldn't pick anybody that could possibly hit him and or knock him out. But the bottom line is now it's some YouTube guy by the name of Logan Paul. Now, I know nothing about Logan Paul, so I look up Logan Paul. As far as box record is concerned, and they've got him 0-1, losing a decision in 2019 to a guy by the name of Obanul. Okay, and then I go to his bio, and they got him 1-0, a professional boxing record, 1-0, and take this out. What's going on there? I have no idea. But the bottom line is he couldn't lick a step if you wet his tongue, and that's why Floyd Mayweather is going to engage him, because he turns out these internet people, much like Ryan Garcia does, but Ryan can fight. Big difference between Logan Paul and Ryan Garcia. I wanted to bring that up because people say to me, you know, you're pushing this guy, Ryan Garcia. I'm not shoving him down your throat. I'm just trying to tell you that I think that he is the crossover athlete of 2021. He's going to be the guy that brings us for the next 3 or 4 years as far as the world of boxing is concerned. He and Teofimo Lopez are going to be carrying it. And I think that maybe if Ryan can get over on Teofimo, and that's going to be a long, long, long haul, no doubt about that, and a tough challenge. But if he gets over on Teofimo Lopez, I think superstardom, and he's the next Canelo. There's no doubt about it. As I said earlier, though, with Socrates Palmer, he is a Canelo that speaks English. I mean, that was a problem with Roberto Duran. Greatest fighter of all time in the minds of many. No doubt about that. Pound for pound, the king of all the divisions. I mean, think about that. Here's a guy that turned pro at 122 pounds, and he fought the world middleweight championship and beat Iran Barkley in a fight that he probably shouldn't have won. He was an old man, 33 years old, something like that. And, of course, he lost to Marvin Hagler. A 15-round decision, was ahead of Marvin after 12, lost by a point, and 2 points after 15 rounds. It was definitely Marvin Hagler's toughest test as a middleweight champion. But then again, here was Roberto Duran beating him. So as I'll go back to this, and people say it, why do you say this week in and week out? I don't say it week in and week out, but without a doubt, Roberto Duran, better than Henry Armstrong, better than Ray Robinson. I can't, and you know, if people say, well, Ray Robinson was the greatest world middleweight of all time. He was undefeated as a welterweight, 47-0, and then as a middleweight, he had all those epic fights, and he was the greatest. He wasn't. I mean, nowadays, no. I'm not trying to say he couldn't contend nowadays, but I think that Ray Robinson, even though he had all that slick style and this and that, I don't know if he could adapt to today's fighters at 160 pounds, 168 pounds. And of course, he was a guy that took on Joey Maxson for the light heavyweight championship, and Joey told me, he ended up losing because he said he ran out of gas as far as dehydrating, that kind of good stuff, about the 14th round. And then Joey Maxson told me he ran out of gas because he was fighting me. Kurt Maxson ran the streets in Las Vegas as a good guy, and he really was. He was doing some part of some construction company down there at one point in time. But Joey Maxson, the former light heavyweight champion, beat Sugar Ray Robinson by a heat stoppage knockout, no doubt about it. Of course, Ray Robinson and I, the 1984 encounter, Roberto Duran getting knocked out by Tommy Hearns, me staying in the room across from Sugar Ray Robinson at the Aladdin Hotel with Lenny the Animal Albert as my roommate. Of course, that was a bit weird. We're smoking all this weed in the room, and Sugar Ray's right across the hall, so we're like stinking up the whole joint. And I opened up the door one day to get some room service, and there's Sugar Ray Robinson standing across from us, directly across in the room across from us. Of course, later he would entertain me in his room wearing a pink bathrobe and a pink shower cap. Again, of course, pink was his color. If you look back at some of the things he did in history, he had the pink Cadillac, the pink nightclub in Harlem, no doubt about that. Pink was his color. I'm talking about the great Sugar Ray Robinson. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. We'll finish things up for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the break. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in this Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Guess you didn't tell Dad your family was coming.
Well, he never warns me when he is. So I feel like I owe him nothing.
Peggy Bundy on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Gotta love that Pegster, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing, not married with children. Canelo Alvarez, the next opponent, looks like it's going to be, I'm getting it today just now, Billy Joe Sanders, the unbeaten WBO 160-pound title holder. Of course, the Gypsy from the UK. Sanders has been impressive in some fights, not impressive in others, but he and Canelo look like that's going to be the next fight. And after that, it'll be Gennady Golovkin stepping up to 168 pounds and taking on Canelo sometime at the end of 2021, meaning the November fight for Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Canelo is expected to go in June. I take it back in May. That'll be against Billy Joe Sanders, and probably in November against against Gennady Golovkin. Do I want to see those fights? Yes, I want to see Canelo in action because Canelo brings some excitement. He's on the mainstream news. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Boxing is big when Canelo's fighting. WBC flyweight champion, super flyweight champion, Juan Estrada, 41-3, 28 KOs. And WBA, 115-pound champion, both the same thing, super flyweight. Roman Chocolito Gonzalez, 50-2, 41 KOs. Remember he was Max Kellerman's favorite guy? When they were over at HBO, they invested all kinds of money in him, and he got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. He got knocked out. Remember that? He got lit up not once but twice. Yeah, twice. Anyway, Chocolito, not the fighter they think he is. Anyway, they're going to do a rematch. It's going to be March 13th. It'll be live on The Zone. They first fought and November 12th in Los Angeles, California. Of course, that's going to rock and roll. Last night, oh, my guy from Philadelphia. I forgot to mention this with Socrates Palmer. Sock likes him, too. We'll talk about Jaron Boots Ennis. Now, 26 and zip, 24 kills. And Crispin Harding, did a technical draw after, like, no decision, after a cut in the very first round. I mean, this guy Ennis looks like he's the future. He's a Philadelphia fighter. He fights like a Philadelphia fighter, but he's sort of got some additional moves to him besides guts and determination. I think he's got a whole lot of skill. Look out for Jaron Boots Ennis as far as the future is concerned. Boxing coming up. No boxing, of course, until the 26th, and that'll be on Fox. David Morrell taking on Mike Javoronsky. That's going for the WB interim super middleweight title, 168 pounds. Of course, James Kirkland coming back at middleweight against Juan Macias Montel. Of course, James Kirkland, bit of a character, a nice guy to be around. Nice guy to, when you want to do, he was a thug. He was a bit of a thug around, man. We did nice interviews, but they were thuggish. There's no doubt about that. So at the end of the day, wish him the very best of luck with his comeback concern. The USC, not so lucky. I don't think they're going to be able to, do that well this year. I mean, they put a lot of cards on ESPN this past year, but very few were of really good quality. A whole lot were of quantity. And if you keep pushing a product at somebody and it's not super, eventually they're going to get tired and walk away. Look at the world of professional wrestling. You know they're losing 1 million people a year? They lost 1 million people. The viewers of professional wrestling just dropped off the map. And that's what will happen with the UFC. Watch me. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, this is the Sunday edition. Hour number two is conclusion. I want to thank the retired HBO godfather, Larry Murch. Of course, he was with us in hour number one, as he is each and every Sunday on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You can check out the Only But Larry podcast at anchor.fm. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide and anchor.fm combining to bring you the Nothing But Larry Merchant podcast, the Sock Fest, the whole nine yards. Check them out, anchor.fm, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Till next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect from the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.